Blog Talk.
Welcome to Black Womaniverse. Today is February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, sisters. To everyone out there, happy Valentine's Day. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also affectionately known as Seek Wisdom. I have a very, very exciting and important show today. We will be discussing midwives and doulas and traditional childbearing. So I am going to go ahead and open up our chat room. If you are listening from Facebook or from our website, please come on over and participate with, you know, us in the forum in the chat room. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com/Black Womaniverse. Our toll-free number, in case you need to reach us, is 1-877-522-2653, extension 5. And our website is www.blackwomaniverse.webs.com. And we also have a social networking site, which is blackwomanshealth.ning.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and play some music while we wait for everyone to trickle into the chat room and, of course, wait for our guests. I'm so excited to talk about this topic today. So, again, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And I thought this song was fitting for our topic today, A Woman's Work. Hope y'all enjoy.
I can't stop it.
welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. I hope you enjoy Maxwell Woman's work. I love that song. I love that song. As I stated, we will be speaking about traditional childbearing, midwives and doulas. The reason I selected this topic for the show today, I've been waiting to get someone on the air. I had Sister Lydia Mana months ago come on to the air and speak about this, but today our guest, Shafia Monroe, she is from the Center, International Center for Traditional Childbearing. So their role is to actually go around and train midwives and doulas internationally. So I felt as though that role within our community and people getting trained, sisters getting trained to support other sisters during their childbearing is so important, so very important in our community. And so we definitely need to have classes and training and certifications in that particular area so that we can support our people in that way. I am going to open your line, Pastor Flowers, while we wait for our guests, so you can, speak on why you think this is important for us to discuss today.
Well, it's important for the furtherment of us as a people.
Right.
If we are not mindful of what we're bringing into the universe and how to take care of the things that we bring into the universe, it brings about all the problems that we are now experiencing, you know, that we're having. Our children, we don't feel that we're probably getting the right kind of care from the hospitals and things of that nature because, I mean, just to lay down on a table to have a baby is kind of makes you think, you know. It's important for to bring this child into an environment that's conducive to peace and love and in a hospital setting, or you're just really sterile, uncaring. And this child needs to be loved from the very inception.
Right.
And so I think this is the most important subject that we could really be talking about, because
we have got to
understand that.
Our guest has just appeared here on the switchboard, so we're going to go ahead and open the line for Shafia Monroe. Pastor Flowers, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you have a question or want to make a comment, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, all right?
Okay.
All right. Shafia?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today, sister.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Now, I would like you to get into, who you are and tell us about ICTC and how you came to be on the path that you're on with training, women within the communities about midwives and doulas.
Well, thank you again for allowing me to share on today's show. You're doing a fabulous job to provide information to the public, so I commend you for that. But my name is Shafia Monroe, as you mentioned, and I would say, first of all, I'm a mother of 7 beautiful children.
Wow.
And a grandmother of 8 beautiful children, and the wife of a very wonderful husband, and a daughter of great parents and great parents. I'm proud of my legacy, so I'd like to mention that first. I mention that because that has what inspired me to have the fortitude to open up the only, proud to say, infant mortality prevention, Black midwives and doula training organization that is international. And we opened in 1991 in Portland, Oregon, in order to build capacity in the Black community. And the goal was that we would relook at the legacy of Black midwives that we've always had, whether it was in Africa or the Caribbean, or, of course, in the early 1600s up until the late 1900s, where African-American women were considered either granny midwives or traditional midwives who did the majority of births in this country, particularly in the southern hemisphere of this country. And that piece of history got kind of lost and quiet, though there's always been a group of black women who carry on that legacy. But I learned in the early 1980s that there was a thing called infant mortality. I didn't know what that meant, and I was curious because a lot of money was coming into my state at that time around infant mortality. I want to say, what is this infant mortality? I looked it up, and it meant the death of a baby who dies before it has its first birthday. And I read further that more African-American babies have always experienced a higher death rate in this country. So, of course, coming from my family, as I mentioned, that taught me to be a help to society, I knew that I had to do something to help, you know, get the word out that more black babies are dying, and that also we can look at our legacy of black midwives to turn this bad statistics around. So I formed the International Center for Traditional Childbearing. So we are infant mortality prevention, a breastfeeding promotion, midwife doula training, grassroots organization with chapters in Haiti, Ghana, Somaliland, Colombia, South America, and throughout the United States and Canada. So I will stop there.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for the wonderful work that you have been doing. You know, I've been able to be in the delivery room with several of my friends and my sisters, you know, assisting with their childbirth and their birthing process, and I never was comfortable with the hospital setting. Can you get into the main differences between having your child in a hospital versus at a birthing center or having your having the child at home and what the differences in care and the impact on the mom and baby in those different settings?
Yes, I can do that. But I first want, if you don't mind, just talk about the difference between having a midwife as opposed to a physician.
Yes.
The reason why I bring that
up,
because a lot of us cannot have a baby outside the hospital. A lot of us, unfortunately, which I'll talk about later, as African-American women, we're coming with predisposed health problems before we get pregnant, which needs to be addressed.
Right.
So whether you have hypertension before you got pregnant or sickle cell anemia trait or you're very anemic or you have too much weight on your body called obesity or you're in an unhealthy relationship, these are some of the things that cause, believe it or not, our babies to be born too small and too soon and not live to be one. So those mothers would need to be in the hospital. However, even with that physical problem going on, if they had a midwife in the hospital, they would still have a better experience if they could not have a home birth. I'm biased. I'm a home birth midwife. My children were born at home. Some of my grandkids were born at home. I've been a home birth midwife for over 30 years. But professionally speaking, and to be honest and fair and around safety, every woman cannot have a baby at home. And so therefore, she needs to know what her rights are. And her rights is to first go to the hospital and to find a midwife at the hospital. Make sure you can find a hospital that has a midwife. Because midwives, whether home birth or hospital birth, we have the same philosophy, which is that birth is normal, birth is wonderful, it's nothing new, it's a sacred time, you could do this. We want to just guide you to do what your body knows to do and validate what you know to do and celebrate what you're doing, as opposed to a medical model that you're sick, lay on your back, let me give you an IV, let me induce you, make your baby come too soon because your body doesn't know what to do. You're inadequate to have this baby. I have to get your baby out for you, and let me give you drugs because you can't cope. And you really don't really need to breastfeed to hold your baby right away. That's a medical model. And that's the model that's causing, as you mentioned, I heard you speak about the baby not being born with love, being pulled out, given to strangers, passed around, tubes and things put in right away before it even gets a chance to have its mother's arms cradle it. And so midwives support the opposite. We support the opposite because we know statistically, if you do research and you Google midwife-assisted birth any place in the world, we have a better birth outcome. Less babies who are born by midwives have a less rate of being premature, of dying before age one. The moms are more prone to breastfeeding. And I have to really talk to the sisters in the audience and the brothers in the audience that we have got to reclaim breastfeeding because your baby could be born small. Just by having your human milk, your baby has a better chance of living. We need to hold our babies and sit and relax with our babies, and breastfeeding allows that. We who claim to be part of the spiritual world, whatever you claim to do, how can we say that the Creator did not make us perfect and then not give your child your milk that's from your body? It doesn't fit our philosophy. And so we have a low rate of breastfeeding our babies. We think that it's nasty, it's inconvenient. We think that it spoils the child. These are some of these post-slavery mentality thinking. It's the opposite. Breastfed babies are unspoiled. They're healthier. They learn differently. They thrive better. The mother has less chance of getting diabetes too later in life, less chance of obesity, less postpartum depression. It's economic. It's clean. It's sterile. Right now, the formulas are being genetically engineered. The bottles have the PBA, which is cancer-causing, and it's ready. They're about to take it out. But so you're giving your babies pacifiers and bottles full of carcinogenics that is well-known and documented. So it's a lot of sustainable, basic common sense, but to go back to breastfeeding. And so midwives promote breastfeeding from the beginning to the end. And, yes, breastfeeding for 16 months is greater and better. Breastfeeding for 2 years is even better. So 6 weeks, 6 months is better than nothing, but we need to breastfeed a lot longer because the brain has 1 year to grow what we call the soft spot, which is the fontanelle. It takes 1 year for that soft spot to get hard because the baby's brain is growing for 1 year after birth. You have 1 year to fix whatever you might not have done prenatally. So by breastfeeding, you're giving your baby 1 year of optimal nutrition to have the best thinking brain ever. And so I just want to encourage people to use midwives, whether it's hospital or at home, to breastfeed.
Wow.
But to your question now, back to why home birth is the ideal place, because normally we conceived at home. That's where it all began. Let's do a complete circle. Let's end up where we started off at. So you conceived at home because it's the best place for that experience to happen for you, and why not be the best place for that experience of birth to happen for you? We midwives have the exact same functions to have a baby as it was to get the baby. So you want to stay in the same bed, the same place, the same living room couch, wherever you might have been. And the other piece is that you're immune to your own germs at home, so you're less likely to get an infection. And that's a real risk right now. As you might be reading the media, there's so many staph infections happening across the country, mothers and babies. And a lot of that comes from is just too many people in the hospital, just too many germs. Having a baby is not a sickness. It's normal. And unfortunately, we have so much fear around birth over the years, because when you watch TV, and I watch TV a lot, and of course I look at these birth shows, I look at the scenes of having a baby, it's always a crisis. Mother's always dying, she's hysterical, the doctor runs in to save her. So that's imprinting our young daughter's mind. You know, the 8-year-old girl and boy saw that, the 12-year-old boy and girl saw that, the 19-year-old boy and girl saw that. So all the life they've learned without even saying that birth is scary, it's frightening, and I need to have a doctor save me. So we have a lot of re-education doing our country. If you look at parts of Africa and even Europe, Denmark, Norway, Finland, Cuba, they have the best birth outcomes in the world. They supersede the United States of America. We're at number 37, which means that 37 other countries do better than us in their babies living to be age one. We are way down. And I mention that because most of those countries, except for Cuba, they use midwives to do the birth, and most of the births are done at home, and so therefore they have a better birth outcome. So if you're able to stay home, you should, because gravity pulls down, which means the more you're upright, the quicker the baby comes out, the less medical problems for you and your baby. So at home, you can walk around. You're not confined to the bed. We say, oh, I'm going to be in labor. And we say, what does labor mean? Labor means to work. So if you have to work, you're working at work, you're working with your garden, you're working with your children on the bike and soccer and basketball, you and they are eating and drinking. When you work and have a baby, why are you not allowed to eat and drink? And so therefore at home, you can nourish yourself as you need to. And we're so excited. Your body is like a computer. It's so smart. It's so in tune that it knows when not to eat. When you're at a point where you're really getting close to birth and you don't want anything anymore, but to start labor early, and we hear of first-time mothers often having a labor, you know, anywhere from 12 to 24 hours, which is normal, the last 10 might be intense, but she was denied food and water for the first 15. So, of course, the mother is exhausted when the baby's born. So when she has her baby, she's too weak to even hold her baby or even look at it because she's been deprived of food and nourishment for over 16 hours while working very hard. And so at home, it's the opposite. The mother has strength to hold her baby, to stand up, to take a shower, to call her friends, to, you know, the dad's there, there's less infection. It's just a whole different, it's just a totally different atmosphere. I mean, your labor even seems shorter because you're in your own environment. You're familiar with who's going to be there. You know who's going to be there. Whatever rituals you want to practice, you can do in the privacy of your home. And home birth is, I mean, your house is where your baby really should be born. It's just, I can't explain. I mean, less cesarean section, you know, less having to have epidurals at home. You can be in any position you want, which is also important. You know, you were not made to lay on your back to have a baby. That's actually an abnormal position that was designed for the convenience of King James, who wanted to see his mistress or his wife give birth. So most places in the world do not lay on their back. It's squatting, semi-sitting, because, again, gravity pulls down. So being your back, it just totally slows down the birth path of the baby coming out, which makes the mother uncomfortable, more inclined to say, I need a drug, I can't do this. And so home birth is the opposite.
Okay. Now, I know in certain traditions and certain cultures, there's a ritual that's done that when you are at the hospital, in most cases, you cannot do. And what I'm speaking about is the placenta. A lot of cultures actually bury the placenta, and where when you're at the hospital, you don't really get the option to do that.
True. And for those who don't know, the placenta is the organ that's inside of your uterus. It's the size of a black frying pan, and the smooth side faces the baby, and the rough side is attached to the mother's uterus. So when the mother eats or drinks, what she eats goes through the placenta, through the belly button, through the umbilical cord, into the mom. And so the reason why I mentioned placenta for the audience because we believe that placenta is a crucial part. So when you eat food during pregnancy and you take care of yourself preconception to be healthy, all that is to make sure that the placenta is strong. Without a strong placenta, you do not get a strong baby. They go together. So when you're eating for both, the baby and the placenta. So when placenta comes out, we want to thank that part of the body, that organ, for doing its job. And so instead of just throwing it away or letting it go to a pharmaceutical debating shampoo, which often happens to it, you take it and you bury it in the ground. And there's a lot of beliefs around that. One, if you bury at a certain level, the older midwife said in the South they prevented hemorrhaging. You put a rock over to keep the wild animals from disturbing it. Some people plant a tree over. I know in my backyard I have 3% back there for all of my children. And even though they're older now, when I grow my food, which I do, it's nice to think that, wow, a part of me and my child is in this earth that nourishes my plants.
Right.
It's just a symbolic, you know, nice thing that some people do. And the fact is that it's yours. You know, the part is it's yours. It's just a political issue of who has the right to keep parts of your body. You know, and they do give it back a week later, by the way. They want to do studies on it and do all kind of pathogen. They say now that it's considered, it's more prone for causing infection because of different things in it. So that is why they're keeping it. But it is yours. You can, when you do these, what we call birth plan, you talk to your medical provider in the hospital, you should ask early, I like them at the center, when I leave and see what they say. And what we're going to have to do to make change, we have to start becoming more health consumers. Everyone pregnant should call up mother and father and say, that's what I want my birth to be. Do you offer that service? If you don't, you go to another hospital. They do want your money. And they do, and say, well, I'm not going to come here because I cannot get my placenta. I'm not going to come here because there is no VBAC where I can have my vaginal birth after cesarean section. Or right now, because of the N1H epidemic in Portland, where I'm living, Oregon, a child is no longer allowed under the age of 18 into delivery room. So before, your children could be at the birth. Now they can't.
Right. That's the same thing here in Virginia as well.
Right. So we're going back to what we saw 60 years ago, which was the father had to wait in the waiting room and the mother was alone by herself. It's not quite that bad. You still allow two people. It could be the midwife and doula or the mother and doula or the father and doula and the doctor. But we have to kind of go back. It's almost having like affirmative action. I have to start all over again with some of these things.
Right. Now, do you practice the water birth sometimes or use what is referred to as the squatting stool sometimes during your during the services when you help women?
Well, the majority of midwives, we all do the same thing, which we call women-led birth. So really, we let the woman do what she wants to do. You know, each village or each family has their own stuff. Some might say, I want a water birth. That's fine. Let her have a water birth. We're there to assist, not dictate. If she wants to squat in a birthing stool, that's fine. If she wants to be on all fours, that's fine. If she wants to stand up over the kitchen table. So basically, there's no wrong way to have a baby. So I assist in all of those methods, and we teach our doulas in our midwife class, our training, but we teach all of that. It's what the woman knows. That's what we're talking about. The woman knows. She might say, oh, when I get on the squatting stool, my back is up. When I get on all fours, it doesn't. We're not going to say, oh, you have to stay on that stool. We're going to say, then get whatever makes you feel better, what's going to help you, you do that, and we'll help you do that. That's what we do. The woman's in control. We're there just to serve her and make sure that things are safe for her. Our goal is to check the blood pressure, the baby's heart rate inside, make sure that she is still okay to stay home. If things change, where suppose maybe her blood pressure got too high, the baby's heart rate gets too low or too high, or, you know, God forbid, blood comes shooting out, of course, we call an ambulance and bring her. And I want to say that so the audience thinks that there are guidelines. You know, we do look at what mothers are safest to have their babies at home. There is a criteria. You have to have a certain lifestyle. We want moms who are taking good care of themselves. They're eating right. They're not drinking and smoking. You know, they have a supportive environment, which means the father is supportive as well. We don't go there and, like, told you to go to the hospital. You know, what are you doing here? We want her to have a supportive environment, and that's going to make her have a wonderful home birth experience. And those who choose hospital, we want to educate them too, because the thing is, you have the right to birth where you want to birth. So whether it's a birthing
right.
center, a hospital, or a home, we want to educate the family to know what their rights are in those environments, and so they can advocate for themselves to have the best experience possible, so that they can go home. Because, you know, having the baby is the easy part. It's raising where the real challenge is, and that's where we see the gap. Because if you look at African traditions, there's much more ritual around the aftercare. So when I help mothers from Ghana in particular, we say here in America, you get 6 weeks off from work, your postpartum experience after birth is 6 weeks. Another possibility is 3 months to a year where you don't
right.
do anything. Your goal is to sit around, breastfeed, rub and massage your baby, do light things, learn to be a mother, and the women around you teaching you how to be the best mother. Put the baby on your back, when to breastfeed, how to stop the burping, how to train them. And here we don't have that. You have your baby, you're sent home by yourself often. There's nobody there. Maybe your husband's at work. He might be at war. Who knows? You may be by yourself. If he is there, he has to work and make things happen for you. And you're isolated, which is not how birth should be. You should have people around you waiting on you and helping you. And my heart hurts when I go to a store and I see a new mom pushing her baby at 5 days old, trying to shop for herself at the grocery store. I mean, where is her help? And as a community, we need to pull ourselves together more and create these supportive systems for our women, because they did a study in California from the Joint Policy, and it said that black women said that they felt least supported in their community by their community. So though we may look at the system, we have to look at ourselves first, because we can knock on a friend's door who's pregnant and say, do you need, I'm going shopping, do you want a ride? Or they had a baby, let me come by and just bring her food. You know, but we sit down and often want to just visit and then leave the diapers on the floor in the dirty bed. As opposed to you sit down, let me change your bed, let me cook for you, let me do your hair, let me bathe the baby, let me rub your feet, let me bring you some flowers, and just you know, start to begin. That we used to do that. I mean, historically, as people here, we did do that. But we got lost somehow, and we just kind of got mainstream, and now, hey, that's her baby, I've got to get to work, I get to my graduate degree, and I don't have time. So women are home by themselves, crying, depressed, milk drying up, all kind of things. We need to really take responsibility for our community. We need to be the village that we talk about.
Okay. Wow, you must have gotten my question I was about to ask you. I was just about to ask you about the role of the community, you know, after
huge.
The mom has the baby. So you just spoke to that. Wanted to ask
I just want to add, too, about the father. Also
okay.
in our training for ICT, so we're not a women's organization. This is not a feminist. This is a community organization. We cannot support without supporting our brothers. We have to also reach out to the fathers, congratulate them, see if they have questions. You know, a lot of men, when the woman's pregnant, they get the exact same symptoms. You know, it's medically proven. They get nausea. They gain weight sometimes. Some of them have stomach aches, and they don't even know, or they have dreams. So we also need to talk to your dad and see how he's doing, and encourage our older fathers who are successful fathers to adopt these young men, encourage them that, you know, would it take, yes, the mother might be moody, that's hormonal, you know, give in to her, you know, you need to rub her back, you know, you're not going to faint, this is a baby born. They need to be encouraged, and if the fathers aren't around to do it, then we, the midwives and doula, we need to encourage our men and congratulate them for doing a good job. We do appreciate them doing what they're supposed to do, which is staying there and taking care of their babies and taking care of their women. So I just want to say
right.
a shout-out to the brothers out there.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you about the some of the legal implications that you may have come across when it comes to being a midwife or a doula and doing training in different states or different countries. Is it different legal issues that sometimes women face when they're doing this type of work?
Well, for being a doula is a Greek word that means woman servant, and I would say we've always done that work as black women, taking care of, I mean, we worked in the big house. That's what we were doing. We take care of the woman after she had her baby, clean up, support her. So that's what a doula is. Now it's professional with the word doula. It means we call it a birth companion. You can take care of the mom during the pregnancy, which is called a prenatal doula, and be with her at the birth, called a labor doula, and then you have a postpartum doula. The doula comes to the home, if you can afford one, and like I said, changes your sheets, rubs your back, washes the baby for you, does nice housekeeping, makes nice snacks for you if you need to. She might go shopping or read to the children while you rest. And so there is no legal issues on that, because that's basic emotional support. Midwifery is considered more medical or clinical. You're actually dealing with babies coming out of a woman's body. And in some parts of the country, depending if you're a home birth midwife and you're not a nurse midwife, then it may not be legal. So if you go to the website, www.narm.org, NARM, it tells you what states are listed where you can be a home birth midwife, and it's legal. So if you're doing home birth in Georgia and you're not a nurse midwife, then it would be illegal. If you're in my state, Oregon, and you're doing home birth and you're not licensed, it's still legal. And this gives people a difference. There's only one kind of midwife who works with women, but there's two educational tracks and different licensing. So if you're a registered nurse and you went back to a graduate program, you're called a certified nurse midwife. Vast majority of midwives who work in hospitals, birthing centers, and some do home births. You can work any place in the country with that degree. The other degree is called a CPM, a certified professional midwife. They are not nurses. They chose to go right into midwifery and not be a nurse. They're just as educated, but this country does not recognize them in every state. So they can't work in hospitals anywhere in the country. They can work in some birth centers, and they can get third-party reimbursement from some insurances depending on what state they're in. So if you are a CPM and you're doing home birth in a legal state, yes, there's going to be problems if something happens and someone reports you. If you're in a legal state and you do it, then you're fine, if that answers the question.
All right. I think that did. Let me check with this. We have a caller here that may have a question. I know I want to respect your time, so I want to make sure I get this question in. Pastor Flowers, did you have a question for Shafia?
I was just really enjoying what she was saying, because so much of all of what she said is true. I really did want and enjoy, probably still need to get a little bit more information on the legality of it, but because it varies from state to state.
Yes.
I know I have been really trying to just teach them to go through the nurses, because that you cut away
right
some of the rigmarole that other states might have, because there has to be some type of insurance too, and it's pretty high.
Well, for the home birth midwives, there are some insurance, and actually they're not that high. It's like $3,000 a year for home birth midwives.
Okay.
If you're charging $3,000, but they're charging $3,000 per person, that's easily covered.
Okay.
So, but the other thing too, that it's great to be a nurse midwife, and many of my wonderful sisters, they are nurse midwives, and I try to encourage people to go for that track. But I do encourage them to try to first have a chance also to learn what natural birth really is. And nurse midwives
right.
do a great job, but they are limited what they can do. The hospital tells them what they have to do.
Right.
A lot of times
right.
they want to do things that, like, when we do a home birth and the mother might be getting ready to push the baby out, we want to provide what we call support in that area. We are able to put warm cloths of olive oil around that area, the vaginal area, for the baby to come without tearing. And some of the hospitals, they don't allow you to do that. You can't use a hot water bottle in the hospital. Mothers
Correct.
Can't get up in the house. They can't necessarily squat, you know, because the hospitals have an issue on the floor as a liability. So a lot of things that nurse midwives want to do, they can't. So I always tell women, before they go into nursing, try to take a natural doula class so you have that experience before you walk into nurse midwifery. You can really see what is possible, even though you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage obstetricians to do the same thing. Find out what natural really is before you go into hospital and become an obstetrician, because otherwise, I talked to a young lady who just got through with becoming an obstetrician. She saw like 15 cesareans and only two births. How can a doctor do natural birth when you've never seen it?
Right.
You know, the trend is that everything's cut, so that doctor's going to be prone to cut. That's what you teach, just like our kids. If our kids only eat Taco Bell, and I'd say to the child, now, here's some natural stir-fried, I don't know, fish and black. I was like, oh, that's nasty. They don't know it. It's not familiar with them. So nutrition's the other issue. That's another conversation we could talk about, is how our kids are eating, what they're exposed to. So if they're not exposed to natural food, I have kids that my friends bring home, they don't even want an apple. They never eat fruit, so they don't like apples. They want Jolly Ranchers and chips. So if the doctor only sees the cesarean section, he can't really understand what a natural birth is. He hasn't had enough experience with it. So the same with the nurse midwives. We want them to try to get a chance to just see what natural birth is.
Mm-hmm. And from an insurance perspective, because I work at, you know, at an insurance company and have been into the insurance for about 6 to 10 years, you know, from an insurance perspective, we see a lot of claims come through for cesareans, and from that standpoint, it's because the doctors get paid more. They're not reimbursed for making sure that the patient has the easiest, most healthiest birth. They're reimbursed more for cutting them open.
But you know what? We have to look at that. What the problem was that I think, can't prove it yet, but that for a long time we thought that doctors were God. They could not make a mistake. So
that's
when our baby died, we blame them because we forget that life and death exist. I don't care how good you are. Every baby's not going to live. That's just how it is. You know, we didn't make the rules. You can do the perfect thing, be the perfect mom, the perfect doctor, and for some reason that baby doesn't come out. It's a small percentage, but it does happen, you know, any country. So we thought doctors were gods. We got mad that they could not save us. And so we started suing them. So when we started suing them for everything, they had to get a malpractice insurance code, which was very high. And what happens, we made cesarean section be the most safest way. So if you go to court as a physician and you say, well, doctor, she had natural and the baby didn't make it, they'll say, well, what did you have a cesarean? You know, what could you else have done? Well, I could have cut the baby out, but I chose to let it have natural. So he's going to be sued for not doing cesarean section. So a lot of them, it's a liability issue. You know, they're afraid to be sued because we're all suing. You have up until age 21 to keep suing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to somehow, when I wrote the letter to our wonderful President Obama, to look at how we can adjust the malpractice rate so the obstetricians don't have to pay so much. And we as a society have to take back the normality that birth is a risk. You know, we don't want babies to die. We don't want to see 25 black babies out of 1,000 die, which is too high, whereas the country as a whole has only 7 babies out of 1,000 die, the high input. But we have to bring it lower. And the other piece we have to be aware of, that more black women right now are also dying in birth. So that's called maternal mortality. That's been a fact, but now they're finally bringing attention to it. And the research I did recently on that problem, why more black women dying in birth, one is that, unfortunately, hospitals aren't really doing the best job, and that's another conversation. But, again, I always first try to start from us. You know, what am I doing for myself? Am I taking care of myself? That's what I encourage us, that, you know, as black women and black men, if we really look at nutrition and exercise and what we put in our mouth, it does count.
And making sure that we're not extremely stressed out before we're pregnant, while we're pregnant, and after. You know, nutrition, stress, relaxation, we need to make sure we're pampering ourselves. Counseling.
Yeah.
And we need, like you mentioned earlier, we need to be preparing our body prior to conception.
And other thing we need to do, we need to be preparing ourselves for healthy relationships.
Exactly.
Other issues.
Amen.
Exactly.
I know, unfortunately, everyone's having their babies by themselves. You know, they get pregnant and then their boyfriend's gone within almost everybody, because I hate to stereotype. A lot of us, you know, I'm married, a lot of my friends have healthy relationships, but a lot don't. Too many don't, compared to Mexicans and white Americans and even African-born. They tend to be married, they tend to stay together, and we tend to get pregnant by ourselves and stay by ourselves. There's a trend that we don't need a man. My baby doesn't need a daddy. Well, that's not true. The child has a right to have his father, and it does need his father. And we need to stop this culture that it's okay to get pregnant and be by yourself, because it's not. That's one of the problems. When we're stressed out, you can't do it alone. You know, you need to have that person. We need to train our sons how to be responsible young men who are willing to get married and take responsibility on for these children. And I'm not seeing that. You know, as I get older, I'm getting concerned. We need to have more workshops on how to be healthy black men and women and make our community strong.
Right. Okay, we have another caller with a question from area code 313. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Adwa. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. And I really appreciate this forum today because I speak to young women who are pregnant and who have really just submitted their bodies to the medical field. You know, they can just do whatever. They can test them all kinds of ways, and they ask no questions. I myself, I'm a mother of three. I had all three at home, my first at 33, my last at 40. It was the most beautiful experience I ever had in my life. My pregnancy was wonderful. My marriage wasn't too good, but my pregnancies were just wonderful. My husband and I, you know, we were very nurturing to each other, and it was just a wonderful experience. I wanted to say that this fear that seems to be looming over this whole thing of having children, it's really a natural process. And one thing I would encourage is that our young women begin to study nature, learn the medicinal value of herbs and food, and just really get into the health piece, because we do not need to buy Gerber food. We don't need to do those things. If we're cooking that naturally, we can blend that food in a blender and serve it to our children. Now, and I don't want to take over, but I'm excited, and this is something I love to talk about. My children didn't eat food until their teeth cut. And then the only thing I gave them was bananas and avocado. You can't get my children to eat bananas and avocado now. But that's all they had. And then I moved them into food, and my children are healthy. I never circumcised my sons. They've never been vaccinated. They're all adult. I have a grandchild on the way. In terms of being sick, herbs have always done the trick. A little water in the anus to give them a little enema, and they're straight.
Right.
We don't need to submit to these doctors who know nothing of nutrition, know nothing of the woman's body. Home first, you're in an environment that you've always been in, that if there are germs in that environment, then you have created a resistance to it. Your child is familiar to it, so you're in an environment that's conducive for that birth. I want to say something about breastfeeding. A lot of people have the misconception that breastfeeding is not a good thing, or maybe you're getting your jollies having that baby nurse on you. But the truth of the matter is that nursing brings your body back together.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most beneficial function in our body in terms of aftercare of birthing. It pulls our body back, the benefits to the child, they're getting your immunities until their immune system kicks in. It's just so many benefits. But it's also an experience, too, to have that nipple turn to leather. You know, that is a growth process in itself, to be able to have the will to get through this thing for the benefit of that child. So I just really applaud you, sister. I would love to get training in midwifery, but I'm not really interested in going into the traditional kind of education, because it's a natural thing. My last child, I might say, is that my husband and I delivered him ourselves. The midwife got there after the baby had crowned and really was here.
Right, right.
And I was not upset. It was just a free-flowing, and I was like, we can do this, you know?
Well, I just want to say that you are saying all the right things, and what we need is to have more sisters who can go into the school. We have a program with my organization, it's called Sister Care,
mm-hmm.
Young Girls Celebrating Life. And we go into the school and we recruit young girls who are interested in midwifery or nursing or medicine. It's a 9-month program, once
mm-hmm.
a week on everything we're talking about. See, someone has to teach them.
Yeah.
You know, we have a generation of a lot of these young girls' moms on the bill for numerous reasons, no one's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that village, we got to pick up our young sisters. Where are they going to learn this from if we don't go and show them the black books, the black videos, have people speak and really show them? We show the girls how to do blood pressure. What's the enema bag look like, first of all? What
right.
are the herbs? We do cooking classes. You can have soul food that's healthy. You can eat collard greens and black eyed peas and make healthy cornbread with whole wheat bread. You don't just switch to a so called Asian diet to be healthy. So my point is that we're looking for members like you, if I'm allowed, Sister Tara, to say that. If you go to our website.
Oh, definitely. I brought you on here so that the community could come together and support what you're doing, because we need you and what you're doing. So please, by all means, let us know about everything that's going on.
We ask people in the state who's interested in the philosophy to come. We call our state reps. So if you look on our website, blackmidwives.org, you can go to represent, and we'll see we have a state rep in Minnesota or in Texas. So we want to have a state rep in every single state, and we don't have one in Michigan. We have Sister Bosma for Virginia, which means that state rep stays in contact with our organization. We train them, and they replicate our mission in their state so that every around the world we have what we're talking about. And,
okay, I would love to do it. Now, you said blackmidwives.org.
O-R-G, yeah.
Okay.
So if you just tap in Black Midwives,
uh-huh.
ICC will come up.
Okay.
And everything is there, our contact information. And just really quick, we have our 7th International Black Midwives and Heels Conference happening in California 2010. Sister Erica Badu, who had 3 home births and breastfed all her babies, will be our keynote speaker.
Is that right?
About that? Yeah.
All right. When's the date for that again?
It's October 7th to the 10th. In Long Beach, California. Long Beach, California.
Okay, I'm going to have to adjust some things so I can make that.
Yeah. On our website. Like the Haitian midwives, talking about Haiti. Well, we bring midwives in from Haiti for the last 5 years. They come in every year to our conference. We have midwives coming from Colombia, South America. People come from all over the world. It is an amazing time of black women, healers, doulas, midwives, lactation consultants, able for the same thing, want to save our community.
That's
right.
And, you know, I just want to say this one thing, and then I'm going to go. You know, it is incumbent upon us. This is why I, you know, was attracted to your program, Sister Womb Universe, is because it's on us. It is our responsibility for the health of our community. It's not on anybody else, you know. And so when we look at, you know, the people in our community that are ill, and we have knowledge that will help them, it is our responsibility. We each need to teach these young girls what they need to do to take care of their bodies. And something you said, Sister, that was so important earlier, you made the comment about the spiritual quality of even at the time of conception, the spiritual quality while you're carrying that child, the you know, if when we talk about immaculate conception, we can have that, huh?
Wow!
See, this is what happens when women come together and talk.
But is this not true?
Is Mother
Goddess
not speaking?
That's right.
Yes.
We need to have another show for that one.
Yeah.
we're not going to touch on that one right now.
But it's important, though. It is. It really is important. So
it
I
is.
Love y'all.
All right. Love you, too,
love you, too, sister. And I look forward to hearing through you through the website. Just, you know,
yes,
the number's
ma'am.
There and the email's there. So I'll look for contact at some point.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Am I on?
Yes, Pastor Flowers, you're on.
This is just turning out to be a great show.
Did you think it was going to be anything other than that?
I knew it had to be. You know, this is my heart. You know, it's us in our personal relationships. It's everything. You know, when you don't have that bonding there, when
mm-hmm.
that mother isn't able to give that bonding, you just then put a being in the world who can't
That's
really
true.
Feel.
And we
right.
want to don't we got to keep that dad in there, cause really we got to start saying his name
and,
more.
And see, we have got to be the ones to make a difference to make this right. We've got to be responsible for who we choose to mate with.
Yes.
We've got to be responsible for every step. There's not a step in it that you can't be responsible.
Right,
we
right.
have got to stop blaming other people for what we want.
Right.
When
now,
we want it, we have to get it.
Now,
right,
I do
right,
want
right.
to go into the classes, because I know you do classes. You do classes all over, and mm-hmm. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and so I've been made aware that there's a class coming up in May. So my question is, what can I look forward to in this class? What will I get? You know, tell me about the class, and so others will know about the class, because we've got to participate with these classes and support, you know, become members of ICTC and support
true,
what you're
true.
Doing, because the community
thank you.
Should be supporting what you're doing.
We need to support all of us, support you, support all of us. You know, that's right. The other part of all is that we need people to come forward to take the training. And so what we do, again, ICTC, we're Infant Mortality Intervention, Breastfeeding Promotion, Capacity Building Organization. Our goal is to build capacity at the ground root, grassroots level to make a difference. So we go around the country training what we call the Full Circle Birth Companion. So this mm-hmm. is a doula who has training that has a midwifery component, because I am a midwife. So everything I do, I always put in the black midwifery traditional piece in that. And so you will learn... first and foremost, the legacy of the black midwife and her contribution to this country in terms of public health. You'll learn what a doula does from perspective of reducing infant mortality. That's the other thing that's unique about ICTC. We're not just a touchy-feely organization. We really have an agenda, and the agenda is to improve birth outcome and create healthy families in our community. So everywhere from understanding how many grams of protein you need during pregnancy, to what's natural birth. We talk about what herbs. We actually make herbs. We make an herb salve while you're there, so you can create your own herbs for your clients or your family that you serve. How to do outreach. We had a lot of a good time last year in Virginia. We actually went outside and we walked the streets of Virginia with 19 women from the class, and we had a chance to talk to the community, ask them, you know, do you know what a doula is, for one, and do you know infant mortality is? And so only two people knew in the community what infant mortality was. The other people weren't quite sure what doulas were, but some of the women who took our training actually got two clients right down the street. We met two pregnant women who wanted
wow.
doulas. So that was a lot of fun. We do a head wrapping
wow.
workshop, a baby time workshop. We do exercises. We learn how to do blood pressures. We understand the physiology and anatomy of pregnancy and the physiology and anatomy of labor and birth. We practice hands-on of how to take your mom after baby. So, you know, how do you push the coccyx with the lower bone, you know, back in place when the head pushes the bone up sometimes? How do you
mm-hmm.
belly bind the stomach, and why did we do that down south? Why is that significant
mm-hmm.
to helping the mother breastfeed and encouraging her and knowing what things are considered really minor? Half the breastfeeding problems really are minor, and people wind up not breastfeeding because no one told them, oh, crack, no, put some breast milk on your nipple and let the air hit it, you know, for a couple hours a day, you'll be okay, as opposed to, oh, well, that's a scab, you need to not breastfeed anymore. We teach them how to do birth plans, so it's starts on Thursday evening. It ends on Sunday. It is an intensive. We've been doing it for 5 years. We get wow reviews. It's like the best training in the country. And I'm not saying that because I'm doing it, because I hear the evaluations of people taking other trainings. So we took some other trainings at other places. I won't mention the companies. And this is so different because it has an African-centered spiritual approach
yes.
to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it
I'm
has,
sorry,
you know,
I just got loud.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But no, we have a wonderful history, and we don't hear about everything that's except from Michigan. You know,
yes.
we used to take castor oil during the springtime down
right.
south, but people didn't get sick. You did brew some peach leaves for nausea. You know, you did use the Bible or your spiritual things. And this, we're not a religious organization, but you cannot be of our community and not have a spiritual component, because we
yes.
are spiritual people. And so we include
spiritual.
That. Comes, we have the Black National Anthem sung every morning we open up with our program. And we do the Black Midwives Prayer, which is a prayer that was created by Black Midwives in the early 1700s out of Mississippi. We open that up. So we have a whole different style of how we do it. So
wow.
go online.
What do you have in Ohio?
We have you.
Right,
you
because I'm fixing to open a center just for that.
Okay. Well,
I done found where I'm going to do it.
Okay. Well, we love partnerships. You know, we create chapters. We have a chapter in Minnesota. They get to use our logo and our name along with your own name, and then we come in and help set up. We have four programs. We have the doula training.
Uh-huh.
We have the high school program. We have what we call Celebrating Your Pregnancy Day. Every Wednesday, we cook just straight beans, and people
mm-hmm.
can walk in. Pregnant women, they can walk in. They can eat. We give them baby clothes, a quality
yeah.
bag of canned food, and we give them massage. And we talk about... You're wonderful, because I'm saying we celebrate. We're not celebrating pregnancy for black women. It's
right.
like, girl, why are you pregnant? Then you already have a baby. You know, who's going to take it? It's not positive. So we want to say celebrate your pregnancy day. This is a time to rejoice. If you decide to keep it, we honor you. And we will give them a doula student and help them do a birth plan and stay with them for the whole 10 months if they choose to have our services. And we do that voluntarily.
Wow.
We can help you look at one of our programs and see which one works best for you and then, you know, help you create it because the need is universal.
Well, all of it would work best for me because I just think that I have been talking to Goddess Tara, and I was trying to tell her that, you know, these were some of the goals that I've seen that in the neighborhood. The very same thing that you're saying. You see this.
Right.
And so pregnancy is not a joy. It's, you pregnant? Ooh, she's pregnant again.
Yeah, it is. And I have seven children, and when I see African women, and I say I have seven, they celebrate me. When I talk to my African-American sister, I never...
They're like, oh, my gosh, that's too many.
Really.
What are you doing with seven children?
You got to understand where it comes from. You know, you got to understand that there was a political move for us to have two kids. We had two. They wanted to stop black reproduction, so they put out in the 70s.
They did.
Two kids only. Now, white Americans have 18 kids. All the Christian fundamentals, they're having tons of kids.
Tons of them.
We only supposed to have two. So we bought into that joke. Mm-hmm. So you have more than two, or you get pregnant at 16, they say, tie your tubes. Everybody I know is crying, I want to get my tubes untied. I found Mr. Right. I'm 24, and I can't have kids anymore because they got their tubes tied at 21. So there's a lot of genocide happening that we talk about straight up in our trainings. And in our groups, understand that there's a movement. We have to address that movement. Don't get your tubes tied. Get birth control and make sure before you do something permanent. You can always stop taking the pill, but don't get your tubes tied because you might change your mind in 5 years from that and want that baby. So we can go on the politics of birth for black women. It's not fair. Our babies are dying. They're cutting our tubes. They're being arrested while we're pregnant. We're not being supported with breastfeeding, you know. There's a whole lot.
Also, there's a massive push that as soon as a woman starts to have problems when it comes to reproductive problems, they're not leaning our women toward natural things. Instead, they're pumping them up with medicines and then say, you need a hysterectomy.
Exactly.
They're just taking our wombs away.
That's true. And they've always done that to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel the ICT over the years now has been a good 8 years, we've been this long, but active for the last good 10 years, that we're seeing a change. Women are breastfeeding. They're changing their diet. With the doula training, all of them have taken that training. They change their lives. They exercise more. They drink more herbal teas. They stop, you know, some stuff. They give up drinking. They sit with their kids and have a meal. We even talk about how do you eat with a postpartum woman. When I come to visit you as your midwife, I'm going to bring food. We're going to sit down and eat together because she's lonely, not just leave, but if I can sit with her and observe what's happening in her home as a friend, not as a social worker.
Right.
So you can make constructive criticism. Well, maybe, you know, a little four-year-old who's acting up, they're just slapping him. Let's sit down and let me bring him a book and let me read him while you nurse the baby. And let me tell your husband, let me give him a cup of tea too, because he's stressed out. And just kind of support the family so they can all enjoy that baby and get that harmony back in again. And so those are things that we see have really made a difference. Our babies are all over 5 pounds, 8 ounces. They're being born full term. The moms are breastfeeding. You know, we have our challenges, but we need more of us on the front line. And we can go in and we're educated. We can talk to a doctor. I had one mom in the hospital. They wanted to give a cesarean section. It was her first baby. She had been in labor for 16 hours. So the doctor said, we might have to do a cesarean section. I said, doctor, I thought that it's supposed to be 24 hours for a first-time mom. So, okay, you're right. I just said it in a nice way. Because I know, I'm a midwife, I know that 24 hours is the time that you give a mom. And she didn't think that I knew that. So by us training doulas, you have the same language to talk their language, know what they know to say, we know that there's some other options here, doctor. And once they know that you know, they kind of calm down.
Right.
So that's why we want to educate people, not be all emotional, hysterical, be factual.
All right. Well, I want you to give your contact information out again, your website, and things of that nature so people will know how to get in contact with you for these, you know, to get information regarding the classes so they can sign up for the classes.
So we are the International Center for Attritional Childbearing, and we are at www.blackmidwives.org. You could also do ictcmidwives.org. We're at 503-460-9324. And again, that's 503-460-9324. And we are headquartered in Oregon, but we are international. So if you are go to the website, and go to Who Are We and go to representatives. It might be a state rep in your state if you live in California again or Michigan or Minnesota or Florida or Texas, et cetera. You can contact them and get involved. You can become a member online. We have an amazing magazine called Black Midwives and Heels Review, the only one in the country that's written by black midwives about issues that we're talking about, everywhere from fun recipes to get your baby out with a natural casserole salad dressing to what's happened politically and what's going on around the country. What else do we have? Okay. We have the doula trainings, the midwife school. We have our annual Black Midwives and Heels Conference. We have our first Northwest Doula Conference happening in Oregon, my state, in March. And there's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of political work happening right now. So we really appreciate you, Sister Tara, for inviting us on the show. Give us a chance to share with the community that, you know, we're here to serve, we're here to help, and we're glad that you take the time to do a blog radio because we need to have someone help us get the word out. So thank you again for your good work, and may the Creator continue to make your work easy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing what you do as well. I would definitely be signing up for this class in May. I'm excited about that. I will be signing up for the class. And so, again, thank you for coming on. And I'm going to call her from the 313 area code. Stay on. We're going to have a discussion afterwards. Again, thank you again for coming on, Shafia.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on the website. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, we're going to go on a break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. All right, if someone has their speakers on in the background, please turn them down.
Hello.
All right. Is that sister from area code 313?
Yes, it's me.
All right, what's your name, sister? I didn't catch your name earlier.
Yes, my name is Adua.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and we have Adua and Pastor Flowers. You are also on the line.
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, wasn't that some great information?
Absolutely.
That was excellent.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
So we yes. have excuses.
What'd you say?
We have no more excuses.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We understand what and have facilities to help us learn and train. And I really think that young girls should be trained as early as in the seventh grade at that time because we really have gotten really away from natural. So that we don't have the natural instincts to understand how to act natural because we're in such a generic situation. We believe things that we have never done before to be tried and true, you know. We believe the hospital stuff. You know, it makes so much sense to have a baby in your own environment. That baby's been in that environment growing for 9 months. Now, why would that environment that it's been growing in cause it to be sick?
True. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope, you know, the radio shows that I've been doing and that other sisters have been doing to put this information out encourage more women to take a look at themselves and start, you know, putting some of these things into practice. And, I mean, this is the most basic thing when it comes to knowing your body and what's happening with your body while you're carrying a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. Because that's the groundwork for everything. I mean, when you know that, you can understand other things. And just the understanding that women need so much. I mean, we are super women, but we're not super women. You know, we need to be pampered and nurtured, too.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that, you know, it's just like I think was said earlier about being able to take off. 3 months, you know,
right.
A year. Just
you get rushed to go back to work.
Well, to make a bond. Because you can't make a bond at 6 weeks old.
That's
when
right.
The young mothers would bring their babies to me, you know, I kept over 600 of them. And I would tell them, I'm just helping you. You know, they would come and tell me what they wanted, you know, as though this was my child and it was my responsibility. And I would have to, you know, politely say, well, but this is your child. You know, just like when I got in the business of doing child care, it came from me sending my son to daycare, and I wanted him potty trained. And at that time, my daycare provider gave me some lame excuse, and I wanted to get mad at the daycare provider, but something, that small voice said, but that's your child. That's not her responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's your responsibility. So we're going to have to start looking at motherhood in different eyes, not just being a baby's mama. I'm talking about motherhood. And then as we begin to make that more important and understand that if you don't pour a foundation, nothing will stand up no matter what you build on top. It will topple down. And that foundation is the mother. And so much education and attention has to be put there. And then at the same time,
right.
as the sister said, the fathers. They don't even know they're supposed to be nurturing.
Exactly. Well, see, that's the biggest problem comes in with the fathers because we as women sometimes don't take a lot of time to pay attention to picking mates, selecting mates, and understanding that when you lay down with someone, there's a big possibility that a baby's going to come from that.
And the fact that, you know, you send your children away at 6 weeks of age, and if I got, you know, 20 kids, well, how much care and nurturing can I give to them? So it still comes back to us taking responsibility and becoming educated. We have to understand we need to raise our children to live, you know. We need to prepare our children for each stage of their life that they're going to go through. And, you know, I remember just coming up as a young woman, and they would kind of say that, you know, the Bible was the instruction manual for us. And it was vague. It had midwifery and things of that nature in it. But, I mean, of course, they didn't talk about that.
Mm-mm.
You know, they didn't tell you that was something that I kind of sensed and knew that it was connected to nursing, but they were making it as being an obsolete practice.
They don't tell,
you know,
the woman how sacred her monthly flow is and how in tune and connected to nature that is.
No, that's
true.
They tell you you're
current, and that's in the Bible.
That is
yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah.
And just all these perversions that really carry on into your adulthood. You think that you're not thinking
correct.
About those things, but your behavior says that you've taken this stuff in and you believe it.
Yes, you do. Yeah, it is a subconscious thing, and you're right. You know, you might even come across the truth, but it might take years for you to really internalize that truth. You might have had knowledge of that truth,
mm-hmm.
but it takes time and patience to put that proof into practice and then gain experience from it so that you could call it wisdom.
Now, you know, Womb Universe, I just want to say, you really make me think, sister, and I know I'm older than you, but you make me think, and I was sitting here as I was listening to the sister, and I said, well, you know what? We're talking about being creators.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes.
We are the creators. That's the problem. That's what we forgot.
The problem, you took the words right out of my mouth. We forgot that we are creators. And we started to allow other people to create things for us.
Right.
Instead of us knowing who and what we are and standing in that and walking in it.
You're right.
You know, she's a young woman, but really she's secretly 100-something years old.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said she's really a young woman, but secretly she's really 100-something years old. She's
we
an
talk
old
about
soul.
Universe, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Universe is an old soul. You know.
She is,
And it's very hard, you know, to talk, but for her to you know, like you said, she's a young woman, and you know you're a little older than she is, but, you know, it's our young women that need to understand this way before. You know, young girls need to know about this just around the time and they're having their menses. They need to understand that so when they get to be 16 and, you know, years of age, they can understand, okay, well, I'm going to go this right. You can't even make a clear map out
mm-hmm.
if you don't understand this thing about your body and what you're going to go through. We're living in so much fear, you know. It's like she said before, you know, we're afraid. So give us some drugs because our body don't know how to do this. And we believe this.
And, you know, can I go somewhere just for a second?
Oh,
don't.
Go ahead. We, you know, we got our...
And this is, I want to talk, I want to say this to our young people, and that is this, that I know that, you know, we are with men who say that they want us all the time. But when we're on our menses, that's time for us. We need to, you know, be able to be to ourselves, not putting no Tampax up in our bodies to plug us up, but allowing that fluid to flow.
Yes.
Into our cells and not be pressured by, you know, somebody wanting to be mechanical. We have to really, really look at the goddess who we are. And you know, I'm just, you know, I'm at awe sometimes the things that I hear coming from your program that, you know, reaffirms things in me. But, you know, we really need to talk to women more and let them know that, you know, we have the power and we can have it and be graceful with it. We don't have to be smacking folks down with it, just going about the business of being who we are.
Right, right. And we don't have to proclaim that we're going to do anything. We just need to do it.
Just do it.
And we need to understand the power and the energy that we have when it comes to that sacred time of the month. That's the time to go inside and listen to that intuition and that clairvoyant part of ourselves. Let that creativity flow within ourselves. It's so much that we're constantly bombarded with on our day-to-day. That's our sacred time.
That's,
you know, if you got to take a day off of work for yourself, if you can, do so. You know,
that's our magical time. That's
the
most powerful time in a woman's life. And if she chooses at that time to, you know, create a child or lay with her husband, these times need to be understood. It's not wrong. We have to understand that, too. It's just that it's a very sacred time, and it's supposed to be used with much wisdom.
Now, sister,
and
you know, they're taking pills and shots now where they don't even have them in.
The one where they're taking it now, getting it four times a year, or they've stopped taking it, of course. They got to shut the woman's power down.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, there's still some things, too. If we begin to think right, live right, eat right, we shouldn't have the pain that you're hearing some of the sisters going through with the long periods. I know women who are on 2 and 3 weeks. Now, that's not normal.
You know, and sometimes that doesn't have anything to do with the diet, because I've heard of people who eat specific types of diets that still have that. What we have got to understand is a lot of the things that we're carrying with us is emotional and spiritual.
But
that's true.
Hormonal. A lot of it has to do with the
hormones. It's hormonal. It can be diet. It can be spiritual. It can be emotional. And that's why we have to come together as women and start to address these things on a mass scale, so that we can have, we can have resources, know who to go to ask what, just have access to women who know what we need to do with our bodies so we can get ourselves on the right path. Because right now we have a lot of women in our communities that are hurting, you know, that are making bad decisions. Of course, it's their life, but if you're not giving access to
information,
right,
and people who are true elders, and when I say elders, I'm not just speaking about chronological age. I'm speaking about the wisdom that comes with that age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't have access to that, you know, I've been blessed. I'm young, but I have a lot of, you know, I have a lot of wisdom-filled elders around me that have helped support me and my growth. You know, and they're not always people that are physically around me. I've been able to pick up the phone or email folks, and, you know, so we need to let sisters know that there are other sisters out here that they can ask questions to and, you know, listen to the radio programs and do workshops together. And, you know, we need to create these real live sister circles that are not just a virtual environment. We actually need to come together and see one another and, you know, deal with each other like that as well.
Right, right. I mean, we really do. It's imperative. You know, we've thought about it, and we do need lawyers and, we, you know, things that we thought made money. But we really have put this thing of motherhood on the bottom of the totem pole. Like, that's
the most important job. That is the most important job.
And that should be taught at an early age by a woman that feels that it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And if she feels that she's important, if she knows that she is God and she is creating, and she knows how important that is to all of everybody and what she teaches that child. You know, if she's teaching that child to be disciplined and to be attentive and attuned to the nature around that child can then go forward, you know, and you don't have to worry every step. You know, when my mom would send us to go to the store, it would be a little distance, but she had trained us. She had walked step by step with us to show us how to do it. So then when we were sent to do it alone, we knew exactly because we remember what she did.
All right, we have another caller with their hand up, so I want to go ahead and open that line up. There's a caller from a private number or Skype.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sis. What's your name?
Oh, this is Sister Shiloh Howard. Peace, Goddesses. How are y'all?
Good and you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know what? I'm just kind of tuning into y'all's show, and I just really appreciate the information that y'all putting out there because we as Womb-diverses really, really need to hear this. And I just wanted to bring up that I used to try to do lectures and teach women a lot of this sacred information. And what I found that I was running into was that it seemed like black women were kind of resistant to listening to information coming from another woman.
That isn't that weird?
If it wasn't a man, you know what I'm saying? They was like they was resisting the information, like, oh, I know what you're saying.
Have
the
same problem.
Okay. And I was like, you know, I had so much information to impart to these sisters, but they were so resistant to it, and I think it was because I was female, and it's just like this indoctrination that we have been taught that if a man ain't teaching us, if it ain't coming from the man, we don't really have to pay attention to it because we have so little confidence in our own creative powers and the God within us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go
ahead. Right there.
And so what I just wanted to let you sisters know is that, you know, there's a reason that we lost this knowledge. We sometimes we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves because we do have to understand man's role in indoctrinating us and taking those sacred sciences away from us.
I've got a
book called The Dark Side of Christian History, and it talks about the witch hunts and the Inquisitions and how all of these different, you know, we were the medicine women, we were the midwives, we were the astrologists, we were the seers, and you know what I'm saying? We had these sacred sciences, and man felt like that was too much power for a woman to have. And when they sought to subjugate woman and take her off her throne, they knew that they had to take these sciences away from us and that he would have to control it. And that's how men started delivering babies because we used to didn't allow men into the birthing chamber. That was something
correct.
Only women did. And
that's
how they was able to learn the secrets of the womb by studying the black woman.
Exactly.
That's correct.
You can't find the secrets of the creator until you study her.
Thank you.
Right.
You're exactly right. And so we have to admit that man's jealousy, that's the only thing I can see.
As a pastor, I teach that. I go and show them through the Bible what they did.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what they did.
And so we have to be suspicious of man's,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying that women have to stop being so trusting of man and thinking that he's always doing something in her best interest when he's really trying to strip her of power and teach her how to give her power over to him so that he can look like the God he wants to train and tell her that he is. But guess what? He ain't God without us. He ain't God without us. So we got to remember that.
What is your name?
My name is Sister Shiloh.
I got one thing.
I'm down here in Georgia.
Oh, everybody, I need some help up here in Ohio.
Yes.
These are things that we are trying to bring forth and teach. You know, but as you said, we have a restraint, and that is, women have a hard time wanting to hear this from other women.
They do.
You know, now, how is a man supposed to know more about your body than another woman?
Because we've always been trained that God knows everything and his will is.
And God was a man, huh?
Uh-huh. Yep, that's it. God, excuse me and excuse my French, but I'm going to put it on Front Street. If God is a man, show me the pussy he pushed somebody out of.
Holla.
Yes.
It just don't work that way.
Because
no,
Jesus means
because
ISIS.
Because if the woman stops her sacred flow, there will be no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, the blood that took away the sins of the world
it's,
was Jesus,
it's nothing
which
but
means
the blood,
ISIS.
But it didn't come from Jesus.
And then
well,
we come here automatically.
Wait.
Okay.
Hold on.
Jesus is ISIS. We ain't gonna
Jesus
get
means
email
ISIS.
Followers.
All right now. I teach what it means.
Go ahead.
So we want to. We can. See, we just have to understand what these mean, what these words mean, why they change
right.
these things, and it's all of what she said. They took away our power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about what she was saying, you can really kind of go back and understand the beginnings where patriarchy. Where I teach and tell people that time has been truly tampered with in the worst way, that they're trying to tell you these things happened millions of years ago, and I'm trying to tell you these things only happened in the past 2,000 years, that they really began to take, because even back in my mother's day, which was the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, they didn't really have no hospital, even in 1950 in Ohio. We didn't have any hospitals here, and so midwifery was still practiced here. You know, when I was a little bitty girl, doctors still came to your house.
Right.
So these things that they did are more recent than we understand. And you, when you tell somebody something happened millions of years ago, they feel, oh, that's just too far back. We can't ever get that. And I think people need to understand history better so that you can take back your power. Women must take back their power because we're dying because of the lack of it. When you don't know enough about yourself and you're doing things to your very own life force, that you're the cause of taking it away because of ignorance, because you got a society that's trying to tell you something that really makes no logical sense, you know. We got to go through a lot and begin to rethink what it is to really be a woman and look at all the things that we do within a day. And if all the things that you do within a day, if you aren't God, I don't know who is.
That's right.
And we're afraid to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's responsibility that comes with that. Once you realize who you are, you have to look and say, well, wait a minute. So all this stuff that happened to me, I can't blame it on him? What's my role in what I've allowed to happen to me? And why have I done something to change my condition and my situation?
That's it.
And it's an important thing, you know, even though it is hard for us and but we still have to do. I just say do the numbers. If you get five people that are listening, then maybe each five person has 10 people. That's 50 people. Somebody's going to listen. We just have to do the work now.
That's right.
Right. And it's all about sharing information. It has nothing to do with egos and one person being better than the other. We've got to get
At
over
all.
That. We've got to get over this competition,
no competition
thing between sisters. We've got to get over all of that. We don't have
the brothers,
time for that.
The
right
brothers
now.
Are tight. The brothers are tight. They gonna even if they disagree with certain things, when it comes to us, they gonna agree. We need to be tight on what we believe.
That's
you know,
I mean,
we need to know about who we are.
That doesn't mean that we don't have different, you know, beliefs on certain levels. that's fine. But when it comes to, you know, the sisterhood, us coming together, training each other on what we need to be trained on, people need to know herbs, we need to know how to use essential oils, we need to know, I mean, first aid, we need midwives and doulas. There's so many, we need to grow our own
homeschooling parents.
Homeschooling, I mean, the list goes on and on. So she's been doing all of it, so why ain't she God?
Yes.
I don't know. That's what I thought. I know I am. Nobody
yeah, I am too.
Cause
that's right.
Anything that I ever got accomplished, I had to do it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, and that is the essence of God in me. You know, the Bible tells you that. It just depends on who's teaching the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, but we do have to take these things back. We have to get back to the earth. We have to get back to nature because we have no respect for nature. So we don't know what we're doing wrong or what we're not doing wrong because we don't know what nature is anymore.
Since you just mentioned nature, I want to open the airways for us to discuss something that is about nature right now. Haiti. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At first, when things happened with Haiti because of my, you know, research and things or certain technologies, I thought, you know, that's hard. Here they go again. But then my spirit sat back and looked, and I started doing some research, and I was like, no, that's not what it is. This ain't hard. Mama Earth is shifting, and I mean, I don't have all the intricate details, but I don't think my spirit is telling me that what happened in Haiti didn't have anything to do with HAARP, you know, and we like to put blame on other people when things happen to our people, but I just really do not think that that was HAARP, you know. If we start looking at the things that are happening with nature, just like the weather that's happening here in the U.S., the poles are shifting. You know, tectonic plates are rubbing against each other, and there's been earthquakes along where Haiti is and along the border of Africa. No one's talking about there's also been a lot of earthquakes in South America. Look at Venezuela, Argentina, Malawi had an earthquake. A lot of the places all over the world are having earthquakes. So when you start to look at that and not just solely look at what they're doing in Haiti, yes, they're taking advantage of everything that's happening there. But karma can be a bitch.
Well, the only thing I would like to add to that is, like you, I'm very suspicious, and I was initially. But one thing that stands out for me in relationship to Haiti is that, as you spoke of, those tremors that have taken place in Venezuela and South America there, they happen deep in the earth. What took place at Haiti was surface. It was on the surface, right up underneath the surface. That's why so many of the buildings came down. But generally, an earthquake is going to start deep in the earth. So that's something that I've been curious about and don't know enough about it, but that's something that stands out for me in the information that I've read.
Right. I think we just need to be open-minded about this thing, and we have to know that they've been putting a lot of information out about HAARP recently. And when I first thought it was HAARP, I had to question myself, now why am I automatically drawing everything to HAARP every time something happens that is otherwise known as natural phenomena? Had I not been told about HAARP, I would have thought it was, you know, Earth, you know, shifting and changing. But now that they've started, I mean, you can look everywhere, and there's so much information out there about HAARP. You know, it's almost like they want us to think every time something happens is HAARP.
But then
now,
there's such a thing is called punerology. Punerology, P-O-N-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y. And when you read that, you'll see that punerology is the study of evil. And this was a study done by Europeans studying themselves, written almost 100 years ago. And so we have reason to be suspect.
Right.
No.
I mean, we have to keep our eyes peeled for any and everything, you know, but we also have to know how powerful our minds are. And what I, you know, implore everyone to do right now is to make sure that we're feeling healing, energy and love to Haiti, along with our intentions of supporting our people in Haiti and along with the people who are going there. We have to make sure that when we meditate, we send some healing and love that way, because all of us coming together with the same intention can make a big difference. And it's funny, this bill of things that are happening right now with Haiti, it's funny how they selected, you know, Clinton to go over there and be the spokesperson of the relief efforts in Haiti, and they know what they're trying to do with our people. They know what they're trying to do over there, specifically to our children, you know. And this man goes and have to have another heart surgery, because black people know, we know what they're doing to our people over there. Mm-hmm. Our eyes are not shut.
Now,
Katrina was a wake-up call.
Who had heart surgery?
Katrina was very much a wake-up call. Bill Clinton. He was in the hospital because he had to do another surgery on his heart or something.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
But those things are very connected, but, yeah, I wanted everybody to know that we need to go back to earth. We need to go back to nature, as Pastor Flowers was saying. I mean, everything that revolves around us and our culture has always been around nature. No matter continent we've been on, it's been around nature.
Well, the things that they're selling us bad medicine, and they're taking what we used to know, and they're using it to empower themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's nothing, you know, we just basically, like, in the generation after they went up to the moon and everything, they made us believe that our parents were ignorant, you know.
That's right.
And that the modern ideals were better. So, you know, I coming up in a home with a mother that was, you know, a healer, and basically, you know, thinking, well, science, the way they're doing it, the way they're showing you in school is the better way, you know, not really understanding that you need a little of both, you know. But we fully rejected a lot of our traditions for the newer ideals. And these ideals, you know, after time, within 50 years, have proven that they're not as well as the tried and true. So as you understand those things, you just have to go back. And now it's the work is gathering back our children. You know, we have to keep our children. You know, don't be so in the mindset when you sit down and make a decision, say, okay, I want to be a mother. We need to be planning and understanding, you know, what that responsibility is going to require from us, that we shouldn't be sending our babies to daycare providers like me at 6 weeks old. You know, if you have to, you have to, but that is not what we need to be doing. That mother and child needs to be together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if that child isn't, who's ever there, that's who that child is going to believe is the mother.
And on,
you know,
the other end of that, sister, I would like to say that we also have to go and get our elders, because they're the ones with the knowledge.
That's
they
true.
They got the information that we need to heal ourselves, but we've got to talk to them. We've got to have open communication. We got to be willing to be patient, you know.
We need
and
grandmothers to be grandmothers and stop trying to go to the club with their daughter. That's what we need.
Well, wait a minute now.
I'm sorry, I might want to go to the club now.
That
just changed me.
But
I
think we need to be balanced. That's
yeah,
our problem.
We are off right now. We truly need my aunt right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we
okay,
definitely
we are
need
off.
Balance.
There's nothing wrong with a person who has a grandchild that wants to still enjoy life. No one said you can't enjoy life, but look, I'm 28 years old, you know, and in my generation, we don't have grandparents anymore.
That's, you know what?
You know,
what
we don't have that.
That's
true. I mean, I had that, but in this generation, it's a problem.
You know what? Let me say something to you. My greatest knowledge didn't come from my immediate family. It was someone out in the community, someone who I least expect to have the knowledge. So we can't. What do I want to say? I don't want to say we can't, but we have to be open.
Right.
We have to be open and accepting and loving our people, irregardless of what their faults are. We need to be doing some healing. I know we can. I understand what you're saying about having a grandmother that's your peer who wants to act like she's your peer. But then if she can't fit the bill and can't give you the information, there's somebody two doors down that might be able to.
Exactly.
And that was the village.
I'm not necessarily talking about our biological grandparents. I'm just saying grandparents, period. There has been a problem in this generation especially with women not having elders around to be able to get good advice from. Now you can find it, but some women don't have that option because when they look around their neighborhood, everybody going to the same club, and ain't nothing wrong with going to the club if you want to go have fun. But there's a time and place where we need to come sit down at the feet of our elders, you know, and listen and get some of their wisdom. You know, that's where the best teaching comes from, and it doesn't have to be a biological, grandparent.
Right. Because, I mean, when we came up, we were brought up as though we belonged to that neighborhood.
Right,
you know,
to everybody.
You know,
I remember I was scared they was able
to whoop us.
Exactly. I remember being scared to do stuff because if she saw it, I was going to get a spanking. Then when I got home, my mama was going to give me a spanking. And then,
right.
You know, you.
And they were the real policemen. They were the real policemen.
Exactly.
You
barely see children outside playing because they're in the house playing video games.
Yeah. I remember it's not one of my brightest moments, but when I was younger, I decided I was going to shoplift something, some candy or something from a store. And the police that just happened to be in the drugstore came up and caught me. And he was doing all this, but I wasn't afraid of the police. Now. And the moment he mentioned my mother's name, I broke out in tears. It was because she was the policeman. And we need that again. Our children we didn't come up afraid of the po-po.
Because he was your neighbor. Your parents.
We didn't even care about the po-po.
Family.
I mean, we didn't care about the po-po. We cared about mama and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You were made to carry that name and you were made to walk. Mm-hmm. And if you veered too much away from that path, you had to deal with them. And then they was going to tell everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. It worked for us. And you know, why fix something that wasn't broken?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those traditions that we need back in our communities. Because when you have that in your community, then everybody was out. You didn't get to throw and litter stuff down in front of Miss Martha's house.
Mm-hmm.
She'd whoop your butt.
She'd
bring you back. I had one call my home say, "You let that dog poop in front. You better come down here and clean it up." You know, we don't do that. It helped us.
Mm-hmm.
It helped our parents. We need these things back.
And we can get them back. Communication is the key.
Right.
I think if we start speaking to one another on the street, recognizing them, making eye contact with them, you know, communication is just tipping your hat, waving.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We done lost the art of communication. When you know
and that's sad because we were the authors of that.
That's right.
See, we knew, and we got it. Now we're afraid to talk, you know. Dark and blind, you don't see nobody. You don't see no kids. It's sad.
It's sad right now.
Because
I remember when I was coming up, you know, the elder men, when I say elder, I mean if you was over 35, you were sharp. You know, they had style. You know, you just knew, and you'd be like, when I get old enough, I'm going to have me a brother like that. But now, the older men you see, and I know that gym shoes are quite versatile because they're accepted everywhere, but I just never recall ever seeing older men wear gym shoes everywhere they went. I just don't, the sagging pants, the shorts everywhere, just the men had a different quality about them, you know.
Right.
If you were pouting after somebody had given you a whooping and somebody walked up on and said, girl, what's wrong with you? What you do or what went on? You didn't even want to tell them because you knew you were going to get a lecture. Everybody had a part in raising you. You know,
right.
They had something to give you.
And you weren't going to walk away without getting
weren't going to walk away.
You know. But I think, too, women have to take back how to dress too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, as we begin, I think truly, we really can't focus. It's not that I'm disrespecting the brothers, but what I do know about is me, and I'm a woman, so I know about being a woman, and I think that is the main thing because she's the one that raises our male children too.
And this is true.
That's the first contact. And so I think that we really need to focus highly on that melanated black woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give her back her power, give her back her throne,
mm-hmm.
and give her back what was stolen from her so that she can then heal herself. And then as she begins to heal herself, she can reach out and heal other people in the community. But until she understands who she is.
Right.
That can't happen.
Right,
so
because she has to initiate it. She has to initiate it.
Yeah.
You know, by recognizing who she is, she's going to take the throne herself.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. She has to wake up to that. She has to understand who she is. And then she has to begin to take back that power for mm-hmm. herself and understand the value of that because, and it's not that I think we don't understand it because we're talking about it. We understand the value. It's just that we've lost the knowledge to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Goddess Tara was saying, you know, we no longer can afford to live in secrecy.
No.
Because the secrecy, if we're going to be secret and hold things back from one another, then of course, we're never going to be able to move forward anywhere.
Right. We need to make sure we're clear and open with each other, but everybody don't deserve to know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know
well,
what I mean? I'm talking about.
That's
I'm talking
true.
About the sisters. Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
In other words, go ahead.
Well, there's that time that the sisters have to be with the sisters. As
right.
I said before, I'm a woman. And so I'm an authority on being a woman. You know, I can't tell you, although I could tell you some things, but never mind. I'm just saying that we have to learn who we are. And as we learn who we are and we take these things back to ourselves and begin to remember, because this stuff is in our DNA.
Yes.
We are just been trained, you know, to say most of us knew it should have been done another way, but they told us to do it this way. And so you're trying to keep, you know, do what they told you. And when you do it that way, you find out, but my thought told me to do it that way, and I should have did it. But you have been trained to not to believe
not
in yourself.
Not to trust it. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what we have got to get together, and nothing can, you know, the men can't partake in that because he's not a man. He don't have a womb. And that and woman is going to have to get together, and we're going to have to begin to love each other again. I mean, if we don't love each other again and if we don't become strong to where we're respecting, we ain't fighting over a dick, we in some deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Yeah, the competition thing, And, I mean, wow, the competition thing is, and self-esteem are the main, are two of the biggest things that hinder sisters from, you know, really coming together and focusing on that. If it's not competing over a man, then it's competing that, you know, my business is better than yours or my house bigger than yours, my car. That's superficial.
Very much so.
You know, we just need to learn how to be women.
We better learn how to make sure everybody has what they need just like we have.
Exactly.
That's what we better learn. Because, you know, the thing here, we need, we are integral. We need each other. And we, you could go around and say, I don't need nobody all you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't living in this world. I'd like to see how you do it.
That's right.
By yourself. And, I mean, you can't go to Kroger's or Piggly Wiggly's or none of that. Or the health food store. You have to get out. Do it by yourself. We need each other, and we're foolish to think that we don't. And so we have to live in a world like that, and we used to know how to do that. You know, we used to, we weren't allowed to, you know, in my mom's house, me and my brothers and sister, we weren't allowed to do all this bickering, and I mean, she would, it just wasn't allowed. You weren't allowed to disrespect or mistreat something of your brothers or sister. It's a lot of things that go on. But we're not raising kids anymore, so of course they're going on. You know, we can't think that we're raising kids, and it's sad, but this is true. You can't raise a kid and be gone 8-10 hours a day away from that kid during the greatest time. By the time you see the kid, you know, I did daycare. I kept them from 6 to 6. By the time the parent came to get the kid, all they had enough to do is probably get ready for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that was giving the most impact to that child's life was me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand these things. And then when you understand that, just like I looked and I said, now, I started having so much trouble with daycare providers when I had my first child, so much. And then I had to come down. It just came down, well, I'm going to have to quit this job, which is more important.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if I go to work, I'm going to miss seeing this child walk. I'm going to miss seeing this child crawl. I'm going to miss everything. The fear that's in young women nowadays is because they're missing this. So when something happens, they're not familiar with this. And they don't know what is really going on with this child. So I hear many young women hollering at these children.
Yes.
It's hollering. I'm like, that's all they know how to do is holler. And the thing about it is, but they're not teaching the child to do anything. The child is a learner already. The
mm-hmm.
child gonna learn whether you teach it or not. And that's the thing. But you're trying to understand that it's up to you if you want this child to learn the right thing. This child will go and walk off a cliff. But
yes.
by the time it fell 10 feet below, it's dead.
And the you thing I'm hearing
to teach him to come away.
The thing I'm hearing, too, and what you're saying is, and this, we all know that this is the scenario, we really can't be there. We have to make a choice whether the child is more important or whether
right.
feeding the child is more important.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we got to pick the job over the child, and the choice should naturally be the child. So then there comes, okay, well, we have bills to pay or we need to support ourselves. We need to figure out businesses. Everything we use, we should be making, and we should be
correct.
Supporting each other in that effort. You know, so if we're buying clothes, you know, we need some seamstresses that can make them.
Correct.
You know, if we want our children homeschooled, it should be one sister or two or three sisters in the community that while the other sisters are working, you know, they can do homeschool, and those sisters have the same, you know, ideology and spirituality about themselves. So, you know, you know what your child is being taught while you're off making soap or making body butters or, you know, sewing clothes or doing whatever.
And that comes, and you know something, when you're at home with your child, you become acutely aware of so many things that when you were out away from the home, I mean, you weren't there. You just weren't there. And, you know, as I was raising my children, I had a great number of women at the time in the 70s that, of course, they went to college and they went to work. You know, I went to college and decided I wasn't going to work. At least I wasn't going to work for them. And so when I stayed home and decided, okay, I want to be here, I want to embrace this, I want to see everything this child did, where there were lots of different things. I mean, diaper service. I mean, lots of different things that you needed, you know, to do that. And plus you needed to pay your rent, your mortgage or whatever. So what you learn within there is what do you do, you know, well. Well, what I did well was work with children. I said, what is the best thing that I could do? The best thing I did was being a mama. I said, then
right,
I'm going to get paid.
We got about 3 minutes left on the show. I just wanted to let you guys know. Well, you queens know, rather. Let me correct that.
But I think that every woman has a gift that she can make a living. That's how we always, that's where it all came from. You know, if she made soap, her kids helped her make soap. And they sold that soap to people who needed the soap. You know, we have to learn how to look at business different. We just have to look at our lives differently and not look at the idea that we're going to work for someone. That is
right. And you just touched on something that's of vital importance. We have to teach our children business too. You know, that's
right.
That class. I'm going to show you how we make this. This is how much it costs. This is how many we can get out of a batch, and this is how much we sell it. So tell me what's the profit and what we got to, you know, buy household goods and groceries with. Or, you know, let's go plant these tomato seeds. I'm going to put two in this many square feet area. You know, that's math and business, same thing. That's a part of teaching.
Well, if you're at home, you can have a garden. You could sell those vegetables. That's income. That's commerce. I mean,
right.
Everything from business actually came from the mother, everything, because everything that's being sold, that's even being sold now, she needs.
All right, we have about 1 minute remaining. I wanted to thank everyone for coming out today or calling in today to listen. Thank you so much for listening. You can also reach us on one of our websites. One is blackwomaniverse.webs.com. The other one is our social networking site, which is blackwomanshealth.ning.com. And if you would like to email me, you can reach me at blackwomb@divinechemistry.com. And chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. So, Pastor Flowers, thank you so much for participating with the show today. I love your input, and I love your input, and I love you as well. So.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and I definitely, this topic is just a wonderful topic. We need to have more midwives and doulas in our neighborhood. Just, we need to have a full university just for women, because there is so much that, she is such a fascinating woman. If any woman decides to embark on this journey, I can guarantee she'll be happy. She'll also constantly, she won't be bored. She won't be bored.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and I'll see y'all here in 2 weeks, same time, same day. Peace and blessings.
Peace. Hello?
Just breathe. Just breathe.
regular microphone controller. I was in the womb with this, now I'm seconds older. Like I need comparison. How you gonna fuck with this Caleb in the air I'm in?
Hey, 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 hey.
People, can you hear me now? No Philly gotcha. I am just a messenger bringing you something very fertile.
Hey, 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 hey.
Yo, I am your president. Yup, in your future. The epitome of womanhood is the one that suits ya. To the stage with the doom boom, motivated by the light, sight, and the dynamite. Pray about it all the time, so it's coming naturally. Got a couple master teachers, say I reach the half of me, so I've been working on me happily. Cause there's a mission and a plan at this position. Hoping and praying, wishing, wishing, wishing.